If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFL preseason officially gets underway tonight. We've got it covered for you in terms of previewing. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock. This is Fantasy Sports Today. It's once again great to be with you here and getting ready for these two games tonight, as well as a full slate of Major League Baseball. We have afternoon games going on today, including one I'll be keeping an eye on, Miami and Philadelphia, no doubt. So some fun things to discuss, Davis. And we're also going to have our fantasy football preview of the Chicago Bears. Not the most scintillating of fantasy teams to discuss, but we got to keep it real. We have to be fair and allot the same amount of time to every team on the shows. So today it is Bears Day here on the program.
Yeah, you know, people tuning in to Fantasy Sports Today this week, they got the Carolina Panthers. You know, we got about 2 minutes on Terrace Marshall. We gave Tommy Tremble, you know, his whole block. Today we have the Chicago Bears. People are going to learn about Equanimeous St. Brown and Treston Ebner. So, we are leaving no stone unturned here on Fantasy Sports Today.
Yeah, definitely not. And again, every team is going to have a fantasy star or a fantasy starter, I should say. And the Bears will be no different. By the end of the season, we'll be talking about a player on their team as well. So let's get to our headlines here on the show. We've got a couple of preseason games tonight in the NFL. We have games Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It is going to be all pro football and college football on Sports Grid from here on out. Very excited about that. Hey, Deshaun Watson is going to play tomorrow night for the Cleveland Browns. They're planning on playing him, so we'll get our first look at him in a couple of years. N'Keal Harry is going to be out 8 weeks after surgery. A tough career for Harry for sure. And Davis, tonight, the final episode of Derek Jeter's 7-part documentary. I know that you've been watching this from beginning to end, must-watch television for you. Derek Jeter's 7-part documentary, The Captain, final episode tonight. A lot of the focus will be on the Miami Marlins, and I think there's a chance. I'm not sure. I can't confirm or deny, but I think that there's a chance that somebody you know could be in that episode tonight as well. So if that piques your interest, I encourage you to check it out.
Well, Craig, I will not be watching this documentary because I am, I got to get everything set up for my wedding. We're doing the flowers. We got the whole thing going on, but I won't tell you, I will never watch this. I do have to say though, for my part, because I'm not a Yankees fan. In fact, I don't really like the Yankees, and I just was never really a Derek Jeter guy. Like I don't find him to be sort of in, and I by the way, when they did the Tom Brady documentary, I told you the same thing. It was like, I don't think there's anything interesting about Tom Brady. Like, he doesn't, like, everyone watched the Michael Jordan documentary, right? That's right. And that was very specific circumstances, right? Because of, you know, COVID, and there was no live sports and yada yada and so on and so forth. But I feel like these documentaries that have came out since are just totally different in terms of their cultural appeal. Like Jeter fans, Yankees fans, and real baseball heads are the one watching the Jeter documentary. But of course, if you make it, I promise you, buddy, I will be there. If you're in it, I will watch it.
Okay, there's a good shot of that happening, I would say. Also, Andrew, our producer, tells us there's some breaking news, Davis, in terms of the NFL and will affect fantasy football. A retirement, did I hear, Andrew, from a player?
Yes. James White has just announced his retirement. He had tried to come back this offseason. Remember, he suffered that horrible, the same injury that caused Ryan Fitzpatrick to finally hang it up. They had that hip subluxation. I mean, that is just like, if you have ever injured your hip, anything wrong with your hip flexor, whatever, that is just it's a really difficult injury to come back from. I can't imagine being an NFL running back and having that happen.
So they have the two running backs with Harris and Stevenson. Is there like a third option there or not really? Oh, JJ Taylor,
well,
is he still there?
Pretty interesting, actually. They signed Ty Montgomery to the biggest contract he's ever had. So if he makes the roster, he is going to be making $4 million this year. Now, the reason why it's so big is because of the accrued service time that Ty Montgomery's had. I believe he's entering into his eighth year in the NFL. But $4 million for a guy who is clearly the best replicated, like, I mean, he is going to be the best replica for James White on their roster. They do have JJ Taylor. They drafted Pierre Strong. He was an FCS player. I think we actually talked about him on the show a couple weeks ago. He's sort of in that mold as a pass catching running back. But the door that this really opens is for Ramondre Stevenson to be a top 20 running back in fantasy. Sure. Because if he is going to be in the role he had last year and also playing on some third downs, that's going to be a really valuable player in fantasy.
Yeah, so there you go. Some breaking news here on the show. James White, of course, fantastic for the Patriots for a number of years. Also, we should mention fantastic in the playoffs for the Patriots, including the Super Bowl as well, with all of those passes that he caught throughout the years too. All right, so coming up next, it's time for us to dig in on the Chicago Bears here in 2022. They do have a new coaching staff, but the offseason left a little bit to be desired, I think, from a lot of Bears fans and maybe a lot.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
A fantasy owners as well. So that means they're essentially running it back, but in a different way. So what will that mean for their quarterback, Justin Fields, who was fantastic in college? Can he have success in the NFL? And what to make of this wide receiving core on the Chicago Bears, and even maybe their, you know, sort of tight end, who I know that's gotten some accolades over the last year or two. Davis and I are going to dive into that next. What we do is we take a look at the NFFP, which is the National Fantasy Football Championship, the average draft position, and tell you if we like it or not. I'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. For those of you who don't know, Davis is leaving us for about a week because he is getting married this weekend and he'll be on his honeymoon and off next week. So we thought we would give him a going away present here, and that is a fantasy football preview of the Chicago Bears here in 2022. Naturally, Davis, there could be teams in the end that are worse than them at the end of the season, but my goodness, this offense is going to be really hard to score, I don't know, 14 points a game? Like in the NFL, you're doing that, you're losing all 17 games. I mean, I don't know. This offense, to me, looks as dreadful as any team in the NFL going in.
I mean, the Bears basically did the exact opposite of what the Jaguars did. So the Jaguars go into year two with Trevor Lawrence, and what do? They say, we got to give this guy some help. The New York Jets go into year two with Zach Wilson after being pretty disappointed with the results that Zach Wilson got in year one. And they said, we absolutely got to know this year, how good is Trevor Lawrence? How good is Zach Wilson? How good is Mac Jones, right? Another you know, heavy spending in the offseason and a second-round wide receiver, which I think is the first wide receiver the Patriots have taken in the top three rounds since maybe N'Keal Harry. You know, like they really invested. And the Bears did the exact opposite. They let Allen Robinson go. They don't have a first-round pick. Then they drafted a defensive player with their first pick of the second round. They took a look at some of the free agency money being given to, you know, Christian Kirk and Zay Jones, and they looked at the transactional cost for Marquise Brown and A.J. Brown, and they said, you know what? We're good. We're good. Let's avoid that. So what little capital they did have, they spent on the defensive side of the ball. They're looking at trading their second-round tackle that they took last year. They hired a defensive head coach in Matt Eberflus. If I want to say one kind thing about the Bears offseason, they hired Pep Hamilton to be the new offensive coordinator with Matt Nagy out of town. Pep Hamilton was the offensive coordinator for Davis Mills last season and Justin Herbert the year before. So clearly some recent history in making rookie quarterbacks perform well. But to me, it feels like the organization is just hanging Justin Fields out to dry.
Yeah, it could be the case. And that could help his fantasy numbers if you want to really dig deeper into it. Let's take a look at Justin Fields. His average draft position is just inside the 200. And it's interesting when you talk about quarterbacks like this that run, you know, Fields may have to do it. I mean, I don't know what other choice he's going to have. He threw for 1,800 passing yards last season, and he also threw for 7 touchdowns. In terms of where he's being drafted, not as a starter and not really as a backup at this point. He's more or less in a 12-team league, in a redraft league, Davis. After your draft is done, you're looking at the waiver wire and you need a quarterback, Justin Fields is probably out there. So I guess the question becomes, in what could end up being a tough season for wide receivers and running backs on that team, and even in the offense, does Fields sort of take it upon himself, like quarterbacks we've seen in the past, and just run for his life, so to speak, and get those 40, 50 yards and maybe not throw for a lot of touchdowns, but, you know, sort of be that guy that can just help you in fantasy, but in reality, not have a great season?
Yeah. So I mean, the one big thing, the change, I think, from Matt Nagy to Pep Hamilton and this new team is, if you go back and just look at Justin Fields' numbers from last season, he was a good runner. But I believe the official stat is that only 4 of his runs were actually designed quarterback runs. You know, so you know how the Panthers would use Cam Newton, or the Ravens would use Lamar Jackson, or the 49ers would use Trey Lance, where the whole play is set up to use the quarterback as the rusher. The Bears were not doing that. It was all Justin Fields as a scrambler. And even as a scrambler, he was very effective. Starting in week 8 against San Francisco, 10 rushes for 103 yards and a touchdown, 8 for 45, 4 for 23, 9 for 74, 7 for 35, and then he sat out the final 3 games of the season. And Fields is probably the best answer to who is the guy who can actually kind of help you win your league in fantasy on the Chicago Bears. Like, it'd be very hard for me to see David Montgomery having a league-winning season in this backfield, even if he does get all the work. And it would be very hard for me to see Darnell Mooney racking up 110 catches, 1,200 yards. Like, I just don't think the touchdowns are really going to be there. But if Justin Fields runs for, let's say, 800 yards and 7 touchdowns, which if he stays healthy and they do design some runs for him, you know, he needs to get about 10, 11 rushes per game probably for him to get to that number. That feels very feasible. And honestly, just looking at all the skill position players on this offense probably feels like the best way for them to move down the field is going to be saying, Justin, just go get us 6 yards at a time.
Yeah, no, and I think that that may be it, which does lead you to believe that if any quarterback gets hurt this season in fantasy and Fields is healthy, you may be playing him in a bye week. It's possible, so let's not rule that out. Now, last year at running back, the first half of the season, it was all David Montgomery, Davis, and it looked like we were going to get not just a breakout season for him, but like a monster RB1, 1,400-yard, 15-touchdown season. It was trending in that direction. I don't remember his exact injury, so you'll have to catch me up on that. But he ended up playing in 13 games last season. And what interestingly enough happened is, and we'll talk about Khalil Herbert, but we saw his backup come in and look pretty good too. So I guess what kind of comfortability do you have with Montgomery? Is there a chance, dare I ask, that he's a trade candidate maybe in October? Would the Bears, you know, if they fall out of it, send him somewhere else if a running back gets hurt? And then obviously that would not help him, any situation that he would go to. So I'm kind of torn here on Montgomery because of how good he looked in the first half. But then, look, the second half, it just didn't work out.
It didn't. I mean, Montgomery started out the year, you know, just with an absolutely massive workload, you know, over 80% of the snaps in 2 of those first 4 games, multiple 20-carry games. He actually ended the year the same way. The offense just really stunk. Montgomery did provide a lot of fantasy value, though, because he was working as a receiver. He averaged over 6 targets per game the final 6 weeks of the season. I mean, if he retains that role, his ADP is definitely far too low. I mean, in 13 games last year, he racked up 51 targets, scored 7 touchdowns, you know, got 225 carries in 13 games is a lot. Like that is a lot of carries per game. Very few running backs in the NFL. I mean, that is like not quite Derrick Henry numbers, but, you know, that's more carries per game than Christian McCaffrey is going to get. That's probably more carries a game than Dalvin Cook is going to get, you know, some of these other first-round running backs. And honestly, I think in terms of profile, are Najee Harris, who is a first-round pick, and David Montgomery really all that different in terms of profile? Like, if Montgomery is going to be getting 4, 5, 6 targets per game, that's basically the role that we are projecting Najee Harris, and the Steelers do not have a good offensive line. Now, the Bears are probably even going to be worse on offense than the Steelers, right? Because the Steelers have Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, and George Pickens, and the Chicago Bears definitely do not. No. And Montgomery could be one of those guys who could really burn me because I don't really like him at his cost. But if he just stays healthy and the Bears are bad but not horrible, right? Big difference between being a bad team that goes out and loses kind of tough, kind of like the Texans last year. Like, the Texans were bad, but they weren't pathetic. But if they're more like the Falcons were towards the end of last season, where the Falcons weren't even trying, you know, they're down 20 points in the first quarter, it's just all bad, then Montgomery is, even with 15 touches a game, he's not going to be a guy you want.
All right, so let's close it out on Khalil Herbert, and then next segment we'll do the receivers. Is he just a guy, Khalil Herbert, or do you think that we saw something that could look like in the future? Like, again, if the Bears defense is good, they're in the game. And so there's a lot of targets to go around. There's a lot of rushes to go around if Herbert gets involved.
I think Herbert is probably quite a good selection where he goes, mostly because I think he would just be a 1-for-1 if David Montgomery were to get hurt, and not that many guys are a 1-for-1.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
For one, if the starter gets hurt.
Yeah, interesting name for sure in fantasy this season. All right, coming up next, we'll try and decipher who will be catching passes from Justin Fields this season and who you should be grabbing in the upcoming fantasy football draft as our Chicago Bears team preview continues next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Today, Davis and I are going through the average draft position as we do our fantasy football team preview today on the Chicago Bears. We've covered the quarterback position and both running backs. And for those of you who may be tuning in and missing it, just go on demand and you can catch it over on Sports Grid and also on our YouTube channel as well. Davis and I sort of illustrating some of the difficulties that the Bears may have moving the football, of course, talking about their running backs and talking about their wide receivers. And let's kind of move on to where they're at now. And Davis, no one would have expected 2 years ago, based on the talent, at least, that the Bears tried to acquire a wide receiver, that we'd be talking about Darnell Mooney as their number one wide receiver going into the season. As their two, he was great. He had over 1,000 yards. He had 8 touchdowns. And in terms of wide receiver going into the season, he's in the top 25. So he's being drafted as a rock solid wide receiver 2 in fantasy football going into the season. But I would ask you, based on this ADP, is that a fair assessment going into the season?
You know, it's really hard for me to say. I have a really hard time with Darnell Mooney. I do think he is quite good. The issue with me is, you know, I get so in the weeds on these guys as prospects, and, you know, we do know that, like, draft capital, like where NFL teams select these guys, does have a huge input on how much they play, especially early on in their career. So guys who are big surprises like this, sometimes it takes me a little while to adjust. Darnell Mooney was, of course, a 5th-round pick, 173rd overall. He's entering into his age 25 season. He is going to have, you know, the opportunity to basically eat as much as he can possibly eat, right? Because he is definitely the best wide receiver left. He was, you know, targeted more often than Allen Robinson last season. Had a couple monster games, the 16-target game against Baltimore. Huge game on Thanksgiving against Detroit, 5 for 123. Ended the season against the Giants with 13 targets and then 16 targets against the Vikings. And, you know, probably the best thing he has going for him is whatever position on the field he is most comfortable in this offense, there's no one on this roster who's talented enough to push him. Like, oh, we got to play Byron Pringle in the slot, so Mooney's got to move outside. No, it's wherever Mooney is having success, Mooney is going to keep playing there because he is clearly the best wide receiver. I would guess his snap share in a lot of these games is going to be close to 90-95%. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bears kind of tried to paper over some of these cracks. They traded a 7th-round pick for N'Keal Harry. We just got the news this morning that N'Keal Harry from the Patriots is going in for an ankle surgery. He's going to be out for a minimum of 8 weeks. Really, the only tricky thing I end up having with Mooney in terms of drafting him is he goes right next to Amon-Ra St. Brown for the Detroit Lions. And I just feel a little bit better about the Lions. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, you want to talk about ending the year in an insane way. He averaged 17.5 PPR points per game the last 2 months of the season last year. So I just don't end up drafting Mooney a ton.
Yeah, no, and I can understand that. And I think that before we're done, we may have to look a little deeper into their wide receivers on their team to wonder if there's someone we're not talking about here that ends up leading the team in wide receiving. Wouldn't shock me at all. So Byron Pringle, of course, Davis, you have the familiarity with him with Kansas City. And as you've probably said, you know, about other players in fantasy, it feels like Pringle is simply just a guy, right? Like that's a guy that's just going to line up, probably going to get you 500 receiving yards, probably going to score a couple touchdowns. But, I mean, barring some catastrophe to your fantasy team, if you're starting Byron Pringle this year, something really had to go wrong, I think.
Yeah, I mean, really, I think probably the way that Pringle ends up being, like, the guy you need, or even, like, a wide receiver three, right? Even a bye week, you know, injury replacement flex guy, is if he actually ends up being the slot guy and they're playing Mooney on the outside, which Mooney is capable of doing. And, you know, Pringle last season did work his way into a larger and larger role inside of the Kansas City offense. You know, by the end in the playoffs, he played 61% of the snaps against the Bengals, 76% of the snaps for the Kansas City Chiefs in their playoff win, that crazy game against Buffalo, you know, was playing more snaps than Mecole Hardman, started out snapping DeMarcus Robinson. I believe in that game actually ended up having more targets than Tyreek Hill. Is Pringle good? I mean, I don't know. Like, good is he probably not, right? He probably is just guy. I guess it is the most money that the Chicago Bears spent on offense this offseason. He got a 1-year, $6 million contract. So good for Byron Pringle as an undrafted free agent coming out of Kansas State to get, you know, $6 million. Nothing to turn your nose up at, certainly. I don't have very high hopes for him. I do take him sometimes in the last round of best ball drafts. This is very in the weeds, but the Bears and Lions play a dome game in week 17. They're playing in the dome game in Detroit, so that, you know, that does have, especially if both of those teams don't care by then. We've seen a lot of last year we saw it, right? The Seahawks Lions game was the highest scoring game the final week of the season because neither team cared. It was being played inside. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown had like 32 points that week or something insane. So that's about it for Pringle. I mean, I don't feel great about him. He definitely is going to play a lot. He's probably the cheapest wide receiver on the market who is going to play 70% of his team snaps. That's the kindest thing I can say about him.
All right, let's close it out with the tight end. And boy, I think this is one player that was on all of my teams last year as like the second tight end. And boy, it did not work out at all. Cole Kmet, who just, you know, didn't really deliver on his fantasy football promise, I believe. And the other part of this, too, that worries me a little bit, Davis, is that with the regime sort of on the way out for the Bears in terms of their head coach, you know, what kind of security blanket does Kmet even have this season with them?
So the Kmet thing is really interesting because Jimmy Graham is not going to be on the team anymore. Jimmy Graham, I believe, was second on the team in red zone targets last season, despite not playing very much. And Cole Kmet had the very unfortunate moniker last season of being the player who received the most targets while scoring zero touchdowns. He was targeted 93 times last season and scored zero touchdowns, returned zero touchdowns on 93 targets. That's pretty bad. Definitely was a function of the offense. You know, for example, Darnell Mooney was targeted over 110 times and only scored four touchdowns. And the Bears definitely do like to run closer to the goal line as opposed to throwing it. Now, I don't know what their offense is going to look like in that sense this year with Pep Hamilton calling the plays and Matt Eberflus in charge. I mean, at tight end 11, you know, probably going around pick 115, 120 in most formats, I don't hate it, mostly because tight end is just pretty much a wasteland after the top five guys to me anyways. You know, what is the difference to me between Dalton Schultz, who was going in the 70s as the sixth tight end, or Cole Kmet? I mean, sure, Dalton Schultz is on the better offense, but I think Cole Kmet is probably the better player, you know, higher pedigree, a little bit more athletic. So I don't hate taking Cole Kmet. He, for whatever reason, I don't really know why the market has decided this, he's got a little bit more expensive the last couple weeks, kind of going from like tight end 14, 13 to tight end 11. And I guess maybe the market was thinking Jimmy Graham would come back. But as far as I could tell, Jimmy Graham is not playing football this year. And, you know, look at some of the other guys that they have available. You know, Equanimeous St. Brown for slot wide receiver, the backup tight ends. James O'Shaughnessy, Ryan Griffin. Like, if Cole Kmet is just out there for 17 games, he is going to get the ball.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense. All right, so before we close the conversation out, I get a distinct feeling that by the end of the season, there's a name that we're not talking about that may be decent in terms of fantasy on the Bears. So who is it? Where are these names that we have not discussed that are not in the top 200? That is a waiver wire pickup, because on the bad teams, Davis, this is what happens. At the end of the season, there's a guy You know, McLaurin is the name that comes to mind from a few years ago with Washington. Nobody identified him at the beginning of the year, and by the end of the year, we know what he became. Who's that guy? Is there a guy on the Bears?
If there is going to be anyone, it would probably be Velus Jones Jr., the sixth-year senior out of Tennessee. He's 25 years old, that the Chicago Bears selected in the third round of the NFL draft. I mean, that would be the guy they are investing in for the future. They also have a bunch of, like, remember that guy names on the back end of their wide receiver roster. Dante Pettis, Tajay Sharp, David Moore, Isaiah Coulter, just a bunch of guys. And I think probably it's actually going to go the other way. And if Mooney gets banged up or Pringle gets banged up, it's just going to be a lot of guys playing 40 to 50% of the snaps and Justin Fields just running for his life.
Yeah, no, it definitely could be the case. And as far as like projection for the Bears this season, do you have them as the worst team in the NFL, or do you have them somewhere above Houston, somewhere above Atlanta? Who am I missing? Carolina? I don't know. Maybe Carolina's a little better.
I actually think the Seahawks are going to be the worst because the Seahawks have better players, right? Make no mistake about it. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, like they have better players. But their coaching staff is going to be very committed to playing caveman football, right? I mean, it was basically why Russell Wilson is not their quarterback anymore, is Pete Carroll and John Schneider were like, we want to play Bill Walsh, you know, 1978 football. We want to run to set up the pass. So I think the Seahawks are going to be worse than the Bears.
All right, we will see. That's our preview of the Chicago Bears here on Fantasy Sports Today. Make sure you catch this and all of our previews on demand over on sportsgrid.com, as well as our YouTube page. Our previews continue tomorrow on the show, on this Friday, with the Cincinnati Bengals, a much more exciting offense, to say the least, for fantasy football going into the 2022 NFL season. Of course, we have NFL preseason games tonight. We have plenty more to discuss here on the show, including fantasy or reality. So stay on the grid. That's coming up next. Then, by the way, at the top of the hour, we'll turn it over to Kevin and Donnie for the early line. And I will be back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire. So stay tuned to that. I'll also be appearing.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
A little bit later on Scott Farrell's show at, I believe, 3:40 Eastern. So stay on the grid for that as well, and we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time for Fantasy Reality here on Fantasy Sports Today. Before we do that, if you have a question that you want us to answer on Fantasy Reality, just download Twitter and ask us. If you don't have the app, you probably should. Hashtag Fantasy or Reality. That's at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. You also get some great clips, news, notes, information from a lot of our hosts. Picks also against the spread, including tonight's NFL preseason games. That's at SportsGrid and at Sports Grid TV. Davis, before we hit fantasy or reality, if you want to pick one of the two NFL preseason games tonight, do you think that one in particular is more interesting than the other? I'm looking at all the spreads for the games this week. They're all the same. It's one team favored by two or three, and the total is in the low 30s in every game.
Well, I'll give out one little tip. The Baltimore Ravens take the preseason super seriously. They always do. This has always been a thing. Well, they have had Harbaugh is their coach. That doesn't mean, you know, Lamar is playing and any of that. It just means that they treat it like a real game scenario. They try to win. They're not just trying to get through the four. I mean, we saw this last week with the Raiders, right? McDaniels literally told us. He's like, we want to win this game. We want to take it seriously. Like, we're going to give our guys some work. The other thing I'm interested in is this Patriots backfield stuff with the news that James White is retiring today. They just came out this morning and said, okay, we're not playing any of our starters. You know, all these guys are out. Well, what I'm wondering is, does that mean that Pierre Strong, this guy at a North Dakota State University, I'm wondering if that guy is now considered a key part of the offense so they don't want to get injured because he is the best like-for-like replacement for James White. So I'm just interested to see if he plays at all.
All right, there you go. Some good tidbits for tonight. Here is today's fantasy or reality. We did our season preview of the Chicago Bears today, so naturally we talked a ton about their second-year quarterback, Justin Fields. He is the clear starter going into the season, doesn't really have a ton of weapons, and you probably would say that there's a lot of other quarterbacks going into their second year as starter that do have more. One of them would be Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles, who now has A.J. Brown to throw to, in addition to Devonta Smith when healthy, and some others as well. Davis, fantasy or reality, Justin Fields will have more rushing yards in 2022 than Jalen Hurts.
This one's really close, right? And I'm going to say fantasy, not because I don't think... I actually think Fields is a slightly better open field runner than Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is definitely the better short yardage guy. You know, he's just a little bit stronger. He can put the shoulder down. But Fields is faster, a little bit more agile. But I just expect the Philadelphia Eagles to have more success on offense. I expect them to have longer drives, more scoring drives, you know, just have more time of possession. Like when you're going three and out, there's not a lot of time to generate rushing yards. So just because I think Philadelphia is, I actually think Philadelphia should be pretty good on offense. You know, if Jalen Hurts can be a B- NFL quarterback, I think Philadelphia will be really good because they have a lot. Their offensive line is good. They have they're just loaded at skill position. Like they have three good running backs, two good wide receivers, a great tight end. So I got fantasy here. I think Jalen Hurts probably ends up rushing for about 850 and Fields more in the 700-750 range.
All right, I'll go the other way. I'll go reality here. I think Hurts becomes more of a passer this year, and it doesn't stop him from running, but I do think Justin Fields, to me, profiles as the guy that's going to have no choice. He profiles as one of those Vince Young early type seasons where there wasn't a lot of talent, didn't really feel completely comfortable playing the position, throws for his 13 touchdowns, throws his 10 picks, but ends up running for just a ton of yards this season. Not quite the weapons that Fields needed. I think Davis illustrated that. They had their chance in the offseason. There were other names out there as well, but the Bears were just not willing to go that direction. And naturally, if their defense is good, that's going to keep them in games. And so that means a lot of groundwork for Fields. I got reality. Fields has more yards, than Jalen Hurts to answer that question. All right, going into the Rams season, the only question that we have is their quarterback and Matthew Stafford. Seems like it's all systems go for him, but we really won't know until the regular season begins. Last season, Cooper Kupp had an historical type year and a very rare year, Davis, where the offensive player of the year goes to a receiver. Fantasy or reality, Kupp will win offensive player of the year 2 years in a row, which means he wins it this year too.
So I think this one is pretty interesting. I actually like what they have done with the offensive player of the year, which is basically the voters have just sort of decided like, okay, MVP is going to the quarterback. Like we're not voting for Christian McCaffrey. We're not voting for Jonathan Taylor. We're not voting for Aaron Donald for MVP. The MVP just ends up being the quarterback award. But even with, you know, the quarterback award going to the MVP, we still give the most impressive skill position player offensive player of the year. I got fantasy here, though. I mean, for simply being it's just very hard to be as good as Cooper Kupp was last year. It was the most fantasy points that anyone has ever scored at the wide receiver position in full-point PPR, even more than Calvin Johnson's 2,000-yard season. But the other reason is I think there are two guys directly breathing down his neck who just need a couple things to go their way to outproduce him, and Justin Jefferson in Minnesota and Ja'Marr Chase in Cincinnati. Both of those guys are phenomenal. I mean, so good. And probably the other difference between those guys is they're going to get more of their targets down the field. So Cooper Kupp, you know, does so much of his work in the red zone and, you know, out of the backfield and in the slot and pre-snap motion, whereas Chase and Jefferson are just doing these huge splash plays. So if either one of them just runs into some positive variance down the field, they could just have absolutely crazy season. So I got fantasy here as well.
All right, I will go fantasy as well. I'm trying to come around to it, but it just seems really hard to do. And winning these awards in all sports, you're better off going with the field than going with one player. I think Cup will probably have a fantastic season, but yeah, I think I'll go in another direction here for offensive player of the year. It takes nothing away from the season that he had last year and potentially could have again this year too. All right, let's go to, boy, the Miami Dolphins making a lot of news, it seems like, Davis, in this offseason and training camps with just how good Tua Tagovailoa has looked, having Tyreek Hill in tow. And there's been words back and forth. Naturally, we're kind of past that as the season's getting ready to begin for both teams. But let's talk about just Mahomes specifically and what he could potentially do if he plays every single game this season. Sky is obviously the limit. Fantasy reality, Mahomes will eclipse 4,839 yards without Tyreek Hill as his wide receiver this season.
You know what? I got reality. I actually don't think it should be that surprising to see the Kansas City Chiefs be a little bit better on offense this year than they were last year. Now, they are losing Tyreek Hill, but look at some of the guys that they were playing in their wide receiver rotation last year. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson played 50% of the snaps for this team. He's gone. His snaps are going to be played by Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Byron Pringle was out there for 45% of the snaps. He's gone. He's going to be replaced by Juju Smith-Schuster. Hardman now is not going to have to start right away. I mean, he'll actually probably start the first game of the season as Sky Moore gets ready, but they added, you know, some talent, some youth, some speed to that offense. And I you know, obviously I think what's going to be missing from Kansas City is they are going to have to work on some of those deep plays. And, you know, Tyreek would be good for twice a year for a play. You know, he gets the ball 15 yards from the line of scrimmage and makes three guys miss and, you know, jumps over the safety. Like the touchdown he scored against the Bills, actually, is a perfect example of this. The one where he did the peace out. Like, no one on Kansas City can do that. Probably no one in the NFL can do that the way that Tyreek Hill can do that. But I think in the aggregate, I would expect Kansas City to be a little bit better on offense this year because they're just giving fewer snaps to guys who are less talented. Like they lose the high-end talent, but the bottom-end talent on the roster is definitely better. So I got reality. I actually think this will be Mahomes, maybe his second best career year. You know, they're not going to top the 5,500, 50 touchdown season from 2019, but going to have a really good year, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I can't have 5,500 in the conversation. The interesting part for me is, you know, both players, I think, despite what now has been said publicly, I would guess privately want to show that they can succeed without the other. I'm feeling that that is the case. For Hill, he really doesn't have the choice because the quarterback has to throw him the ball. Mahomes has the choice in sort of a way that Aaron Rodgers has had a choice in the past. A lot of people see Aaron Rodgers running in for rushing touchdowns. He makes that choice. I mean, he makes that go. Mahomes can do the same. And so I wonder if he'll be supremely motivated this year to show that he can without Hill. And for that reason, I'm going to say yes, he will eclipse it. And I will say reality there. I'm also curious to see what kind of season Hill has too. And I know, again, he's got to get the ball. He doesn't have that opportunity to throw it and sort of make that call and go over on the yardage. But I'm not particularly worried about the Chiefs wide receiving core. And if I am worried at some point, that's the kind of team in October that is making a trade and getting a player that's going from another team to them and becoming immediately the top target for Mahomes. So I got reality as well. All right, finally, yesterday we learned that the Guinness Book of World Records for eating ghost peppers, we have a new winner. And the total amount of ghost peppers Davis eaten in 1 minute is now 17. That is the new world record for ghost peppers. For those of you who are not familiar with ghost peppers, they are very hot. You watch these videos of, I think it's Hot Ones or something like that, where they do these YouTube videos and they show the celebrities eating one essentially and like can't even get through it. I would ask you, Davis, fantasy or reality? Let's forget 17, because you and I are not eating 17. We're not eating 10, all right? Let's get real. But fantasy or reality, you, Davis, could eat 1.5 ghost peppers in 1 minute. So essentially, this is the deal. Someone gives you one, you eat it. Could you eat two?
No, definitely not. I've never done ghost peppers. I've done like habaneros and some of the other really, really spicy ones. But never done the, what is it? The Carolina Ghost Reaper or something or what they call it. I've never done those. No, I do really, I love spicy food. I put hot sauce on everything. Like, I am more equipped than the average person. But it does, after I ever eat one of these really spicy ones, it just kind of always messes with my stomach. Like, it gets down there and it's just like, you can just kind of feel it. The seeds are grinding and digesting. Like, it always hurts. It always hurts a little bit. But I got fantasy here. No way I could do this.
Yeah, this is a fantasy for me. And again, you know, there was a time when I could handle the spicy food, Davis, but you start pushing 50, man, and it's just, and then you ask yourself the question, is it worth it? like, is it really worth the chance here? And so I've eliminated, I would say, the majority of all spicy food. I used to like it, and I used to buy hot sauce and put it on things. I used to have hot wings and that, but now, man, it's like, just knowing what I could be in store for later, risk versus reward, is it really worth that spot? It is not. So I would say fantasy. But the non-spicy peppers, Davis, I do like just like standard red peppers and things like that.
Totally. And even jalapenos, right? Even like pickled jalapenos, like a little bit of kick, but no, like, you know, you're not getting punched in the back of the teeth. Like, love that.
Yeah, usually I'm like this. I always will have something to do later in the day or later in the night or the next day. And for some reason, I'm risk averse to ruining my day or ruining my night off taking a chance. All right, that will do it for Fantasy Reality. Coming up next, we got the Sports Grid 60. So stay tuned. Davis and I will be back in just a couple of minutes. And then we got the early line coming your way in about 10 minutes from now. Again, I'll be back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire. So don't go away. Our final break is here, and then we'll be right back to wrap it up here on this Thursday. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, before we get out of here, congratulations to my co-host, Davis Maddock. He's about to get married. We're going to wish Davis a very happy wedding and a happy honeymoon, and we'll see Davis back here on the 22nd of August. So a nice long time off for Davis. Hope you enjoy it. Congratulations on your wedding, Davis, and deliver us your final Sports Grid 60 for a couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, about to embark on the journey of marriage and on the honeymoon. But of course, Craig, you know what I'll be thinking about sitting there on the beach. I'm missing all these drafts, buddy. I'll be sitting there thinking, oh, you know, I can't register for Best Ball Mania 3. I'm missing out on the EV. So I will need, you know, when I get back, I will need you to have me up to date on all the big player news that I miss. I'm going to try to unplug a little bit while I'm out there. I'm excited to come back with a big suntan. Brett and I will be, you know, both doing the same because he's on his honeymoon right now. So we will be a show of fully married men when I return on August 22nd. And I will be excited to see you guys then.
All right. Well, hope you have a great time. It's honeymoon time here on Sports Grid for sure. Three people I know, Susmania also going on his honeymoon as well. All right, but I'll be here holding it down for you guys, and especially excited for tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern. It is the final episode of The Captain on ESPN, and pretty big deal for me because I think that I'm going to have an appearance in this thing tonight, so I'm very curious to see how this is portrayed and to see some of the things that I talked about. If I do make it into the episode, doing a four-hour interview and being clipped for about a minute should be pretty cool. I would encourage you guys to check it out on ESPN tonight. That's 10 o'clock Eastern. See if I made it. I guess that's the answer to it. I think I kind of know the answer to it, but I would encourage you to watch. It's really been a well-done show. Congrats to Randy Wilkins, their director, as well. All right, that'll do it for our show today. Thanks to Andrew for producing, as always, today, filling in for Brett. Thanks to LTN, our graphics department, for sure. And for Davis, I'm Craig. I'll see you back here at 2 o'clock Eastern for the news. Break, break.